I just had this vision of you taking one of these plastic bags, jumping on the back of a harbor seal and just suffocating it like you're like a member of a narco-terrorism group, like taking out an enemy. Zach, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm always doing great. I'm here. We're talking about great stuff, and I might be able to soon get a $1 coin with the head of Donald Trump on it.
Well, the way you're going, you may have your own coin. You have the look of somebody, I got to tell you, now I don't know anything. I'm just shooting in the dark here. But you have the look all of a sudden of somebody that's just a little bit closer to the seat of power here.
So Zach's jealous I got invited to the White House. Look, if they would have let me bring a guest, the order would have been Nicole, my brother Pat, who's obsessed with Donald Trump, and then you. You would have been third, for sure.
Well, hey, third for me is phenomenal, first of all.
Yeah, I agree.
I got five people in my family, and somehow I always call it coming 10th. So third here is phenomenal. But here's what I'm the most excited about. I'm excited about the potential that this gives for us to be evil insiders. For instance, right? So you're gonna get all inculcated in there, right? And you're gonna get your web in there. Then I'm gonna start paying exorbitant amounts of money for you to influence people on my behalf. Like I'm gonna be like the next BlackRock. You're gonna be like the next Steve Bannon. We're on our way. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, evil in cahoots, all that stuff. Hey, I'm all on board. And then I'll convince the president to also give me a $1 coin with my face on it. So this is apparently the Treasury Department has draft photos. I don't know if you've seen them of this $1 coin that show President Donald Trump in front of an American flag. Is this just sort of a sticky thing, or what do you think? You think Trump, this is, because look, it's been a while since we put a new president's face on a bill, right? I gotta say, if there were anyone who deserves it, it's probably the guy who almost got assassinated.
Well, I mean, culturally speaking, I think that he probably does, at least for being a lightning rod. Then there's also the added benefit of it just, I mean, you talk about just owning the libs on that one. You know what I mean? Just, I mean, because that's just an extra shot in the ribs, right? To see his face on legal tender.
They'll be throwing it off bridges.
You know what I was actually thinking about? I was actually thinking, this has gotten so ridiculous. Trump should go out there and say that he wants us to be a communist country, that he loves abortions, right? And he loves foreign wars. If that wouldn't get the liberals on track, I mean, within 10 hours, they'd be back to being the liberal party of my youth, anti-war, anti-violence, anti-corruption. I think there's something there. I honestly think.
I think so, too. A little reverse psychology. But, you know, as much as I wish these were going to go into mass circulation, this is an image on the Liberty coin to commemorate the 250th anniversary of America's founding. So it's going to be probably a limited run. So I know people will try to get their hands on them. I definitely want one, but I do, you know, it's time for another president on one of our, to grace one of our bills or one of our coins. So, all right, let's get to some watchdogging. So we talk a lot about just failed environmental policy. When we talk about, you know, the swamp and big government, environmental policy is one of the biggest tools of control they have, and trying to make us believe that if we don't do something and cough up all this money, then the world is going to end. So, of course, in Washington state and other states, there's plastic bag bans. Can't have the single-use plastic bags, which I asked my viewers on my show this week. When you go to a grocery store, do you bring your own bag because of the plastic bag ban, or do you pay them 8 cents for one of their thicker plastic bags?
We're not super close personal friends, but I know you know me well enough to know this answer.
Okay, I don't think you bring your own reusable.
No, come on. But
I also know you well enough to know that handing over 8 cents per bag, you probably don't like the idea of doing that either.
You know, I'll be honest. I don't like spending money that I don't need to. Eight cents is a tolerable amount, because there is also this part of me that likes to, even if it is an expense of my own, to push back against the idiocy I see out there. So there is a part of me that wants to like get a bag for every individual item that I buy. You know, even if it caught like, sir, that's like $15 worth of bags. I'm like, I know, but I really hate the environment.
And I'm going to go burn them. I'm going to burn these bags and curse Jay Inslee's name.
Well, the ones I don't tie around the necks of geese and ducks.
Well, first, yes. First, you put it around, make sure you get it up a turtle's nostril, obviously.
Right. So, there's priorities here. Now, a whale's blowhole, you know, that's sort of like that's like a hole in one in golf. Yeah. A kid can dream, right? But I mean, I'm not going to be bummed out if that doesn't occur. But I mean, killing a marine mammal with a plastic bag, I mean, you know, that's right up there for a conservative environmentalist hater like myself.
I just had this vision of you taking one of these plastic bags, jumping on the back of a harbor seal and just suffocating it like you're like a member of a narco-terrorism group, like taking out an enemy. Now I'm sad. We're not killing marine life. Well, they say we're killing marine life if we use plastics. So there's a conclusion now from researchers at Washington State University that they say that this plastic bag ban has actually hurt the environment. And here's the reason. They said it hasn't changed behavior. People will just like you, they'll just get the plastic bag and they'll pay for it. And then the plastic bags they give you are these thicker plastic bags because they say they're reusable. Nobody's reusing them. So now you used more plastic to make this thicker bag, and people still just throw that bag away. So now the only thing it's done is cost shoppers more money.
Yeah, I mean, you just summed up the entire climate change industry, right, in a sentence. I mean, one of the things that I know that gets lost in this, right? Your husband's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
This whole idea that people that don't buy into this stuff are anti-environment, it couldn't be further from the truth, right? Meaning, you want to talk about people that are really tapped into the environment. I know you'll know this. You can talk all your environmental stuff all you want. You really want to know the people that are really in tune and really know it's outdoorsmen and hunters, mm-hmm. right? It's the wildlife folks.
Yeah.
And the understanding that these people have about we're affecting our, there's just so much nonsense. Like you said, it's all about control. It's all about freaking people out and getting them scared. And when you really understand the real science, like for instance, let's even go to the plastic bag scenario. We've got these islands of plastic floating out in the sea. Yet 90% of that comes from Asia.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. The other 10% comes from other third party. It isn't coming from America right now. Are we all about like being clean where we can? Sure. But every single one of these initiatives is like a grain of truth built on a mountain of lies, right? Like where you've got this one little detail that they cling to and the rest of the story is complete nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, like for instance, go to China. There's places in China. Go look at their rivers. Go look what's going out in the ocean and then ask yourself if that Starbucks straw or the 8 cents for the plastic bag is gonna mean a plug nickel versus what those people are actively pumping out into the Pacific Ocean. The whole thing is ridiculous. We're sitting there talking about, you know, we've got to get to zero. Meanwhile, China's throwing up coal-fired power plants as quick as they can get them up.
Yep.
Laughing the whole time because as the rest of the world does that, their cost of manufacturing on a comparable basis continues to drop because they're the only ones that have more power than they need, right? And you know, coal is not the best source of power. But in terms of cost efficiency, it's unbelievable. So it's really this whole climate change thing. There are some grains of truth to it, right? We are warming, like you and I have discussed. It's not that I don't think human beings play a role. It's just on the periphery.
Yeah.
And all the data points that way if you really care. But when you start looking at these climate change, these rules and these regulations and these laws, that's how if you're discerning, you can see right through it because there are so many of these things that have come at cost to industry, at financial costs. And then when you understand and you look underneath it, they do nothing, right? It literally is all cosmetic, like carbon neutral.
Yeah.
What good is it for us to shut down power plants here if for everyone we shut down, China's opening too?
Right.
Right? It's not like the carbon just hangs out over China proper. You know what I mean? It's not like it geographically, you know, confines itself. So, you know, whatever we're doing here in America, it doesn't matter at all based on what's going on in China.
Yeah. And it's right? not like you don't try and do anything, right? You try to be a good steward of the environment. And I laugh, and you alluded to this, that like Seattleites are the environmentalists that have, you know, feces and fentanyl and garbage and trash everywhere. But it could, the conservatives in the pristine, beautiful rural areas of the state are like hate the environment. It just is the biggest lie ever sold. But, you know, one of the things, and this is our second watchdog, and I think one of the important aspects of this is, what do you do as the government when you realize that something you said would help the environment isn't helping the environment, right? So if you were operating honestly and they really wanted to help the environment, you would look at this report from these researchers and you'd say, okay, so what do we do now? If it's not working and it's not having the intended impact, what do we do now? Well, of course, the state, well, what do you think the state is doing? Well, first, they're trying to discredit the report, right? They're, oh, this is, you know, bogus research or whatever it is. But the other thing that they want to do, their response to this, is not to say, okay, let's do away with this program because it's actually leading to more waste or more pollution or whatever it is. They're saying, well, let's just try this. Let's charge more for the thick plastic bags. So what, and just like cigarettes, right? Oh, we want people to stop smoking, so we're gonna just keep raising the cost and taxes. So they want more people to use the reusables. So rather than alter or do away with the program, they're like, let's just charge, I don't know, 50 cents per bag and see if that changes behavior.
And why not just make, if it's that important to you, why not just make paper bags?
Well, right. Or why not say, okay, you can't do, well, I don't want more regulation to this isn't the answer. But
no,
there are some stores
not.
Where you have to pay 8 cents for a paper bag, but some still have those thick plastics. So rather than make them 50 cents, you should just say, well, you can't offer plastic as an option at all. I don't want them to do that, but that would make more sense.
There, making more sense would be the smallest hill to climb in the history of hills here in the state of Washington. Yeah. Meaning, talk about a lot of low-hanging fruit around here, right? That you could do to benefit things. We are just magnetically drawn to the most idiotic practices and best efforts, right? Like, so if we've, I mean, you know this, and majority, but if we've got five different options on the table, the one thing that you can guarantee yourself in the state of Washington is whichever option is the least efficacious and the most expensive, that's what we're going to go with.
Yep, 100%.
Right? Every time. And we're not going to let truth get in the way of it. Like, think about how funny that is, right? The party of science starts discrediting a science report coming out, or science report, what an idiot I sound like, or whatever, but a study that comes out on this before they even have the ability to look at the veracity or cross-reference it or check it or whatever, it's already wrong, right? And this is one of my biggest issues, is that when you have people that think like that, when you have people that have rushed to judgments like that, the one thing that you know logically is that these are people that have absolutely zero interest in the truth, right? These are people that have absolutely zero interest in actually getting it wrong. They respond to these studies just like a member of a religious party would respond to you calling their religion out, right? It's pure vitriol, pushback, it can't be true, it's nefarious, it's wrong. Before we even look at the underlying, you know, the tenets of the argument, is there any basis to it? Is there anything? And I think that this is what, especially here in a more extreme area like the state of Washington has certainly become politically, that when you get out there on the fringes or to the more extreme arms of the Liberal Party, it's just a religion. It's just a religion by a different name, because they believe in a bunch of things that are not observable, that are not repeatable and are not measurable. Therefore, they don't meet the basic definition of science. And there is so much emotion and so much faith in things unproven and unsubstantiated that, again, I think if you want to start looking at it, you have to look at it as a religion. The hard part is that when you have a political party in that kind of mind space, it really makes progress or finding common ground impossible.
It does.
Right? Because it's a religion.
Yeah.
And if you're not with them, you're against them and you're evil and you're part of the problem. And you know, when that's the opinion you have of your political opposition, there's a little hope for anything to change, you know, in a good way.
Well, and one of the things that's just so 1984 about this whole study, so it was a Department of Commerce, Department of Ecology report, but it was compiled by Washington State University. So, of course, WSU gets some taxpayer funds and all this stuff. So because WSU's conclusion isn't something the state liked, when the report was sent out, they sent it out with a department memo on the top of it. Like, the first several pages are basically the government saying why the study can't be trusted, or it's limited in nature or limited in scope, and they disagree with it. So they have WSU do this study, don't like the results of the study, so they slap a memo on the front of it. So you have to read through several pages of government propaganda about why you basically shouldn't listen to this study. It's crazy.
My question, I would have thrown right back at them and been like, what results were you expecting from it?
Wait, what did you...
What upside did you think that we'd see porpoises dancing along the tops of the water and telling you thank you in a porpoisey way, like thank you, the squeaky way? Yeah, what was it you were looking for, right? So in one little corner of the world, you're going to outlaw plastic bags, and you think that just the efficacy of that is just going to stand tall and wide, and everybody's going to hail your ability to save the environment? I mean, what again? All of that public, all of that plastic that's populating those islands, it's not coming from here.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
and also if the report wouldn't change your mind, if you still wanted to continue with the program, regardless of what the report showed, why do the report in the first place? You know, if you're not looking for something that shows effectiveness. Now, the WSU researchers had a suggestion for how to move forward, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, to me, it makes sense just do away with the program. But they're saying, okay, if this hasn't changed habits, right, it costing 8 cents for one of these thicker bags, then just do away with the thickness requirement. Just go back to the regular bags, which would put less plastic, you know, back into the earth, and it would cost the same, but now there's less plastic being wasted, essentially. So they said just get rid of the thickness.
And how obvious. I thought about that the minute that rule came down. The first time I went into a grocery store, I remember sitting there going, huh, the upside of this is these plastic bags are way better than the flimsy ones they used to give us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and I'm still not going to use it again, but...
But this is just the intellectual bankruptcy of that party, right? We're going to charge you 8 cents, and we're going to make them way better so they don't break, and that will make you not use them.
Well, but won't they strangle the sea life more if they don't break? Because now people are discarding them anyway, but it actually has more plastic. It took more plastic to make it, and ain't no way a sea mammal or whatever is going to be able to break free from those, because those are sturdy.
You've got people, I don't know if people, again, most people that listen to this show are probably more local to this area. But the other thing is what is it that we're paying attention to, and what is it that we're trying to fix?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a city and an area that is so screwed up that they go and in the bay out in front of Seattle, there are measurable amounts of opiates in shellfish.
Yeah.
Right? From the unbelievable amount of opium-laced excrement that washes down storm drains. And think about what that says about an area. And in that same area, the things that we're worried about are too many plastic bags. I mean, you couldn't make it up if you tried.
Well, I think and Nicole, our producer, might chime in on this, because I think she's brought this up before. The whole turtle straw thing was a farce. It was like an eighth grader's project where he said a turtle died from this, right, Nicole? And then after that,
he was 12 years old.
He was like an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And this report was picked up by someone, like an eighth grader's report, and turned into, oh my God, the plastic straws are killing turtles.
Yeah. And this is the other scary thing about what's gone on politically, is that the party and the group of folks that you know, used to be considered intellectually elite, certainly the group of folks, if you were to generalize, that are in control of most of the educational institutions in this country, right, and everything, the the level of stupidity has gotten to a place where, you know, we all hear the stories about people not wanting their kids or certain kids not wanting to go to college, and is college worth it and all that kind of stuff. But when, you know, those are really honest questions to ask when you start looking at the policies that so many of these people put out there and the policies that they back. You'd think people would be sick of it by now, but they're not.
Nope. They love the environment, but they don't care if something actually helps the environment. Unreal. All right, let's help people make some money moves. So President Donald Trump announcing 25% tariffs on any trucks, medium and heavy duty trucks. Beginning November 1st, 2025, all medium and heavy duty trucks coming into the U.S. from other countries will be tariffed at the rate of 25%.
Obviously, that is a direct response, and that is aimed almost entirely at Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, really obviously. Quick, it says top five import sources by customs value, Mexico, Canada, Japan, Germany, and Finland. So I guess things being shipped over and shipped up, yeah.
Yeah, so as it relates to Canada, I don't want this to be the case at all, but especially if you're looking at it from Trump's perspective, and I think kind of from any perspective at this point, anything that makes life not easy, and I hate to say this because I love Canada and I love Canadians and have had some wonderful, I was just up in Canada fishing actually. But anything that makes life more difficult on them is probably more beneficial for us, at least in the short run on an economic basis, because that Mark Carney that they've got in there, he's not a good actor. He's a bad dude. He's a bad guy with bad intents. He is pure globalist, pure World Economic Forum, all about the globalist deal, to the detriment of Canada, quite honestly. You know, then you look down at Mexico, and I have increasingly come to the realization myself that full stop, Mexico is a narco state. 100%. When you add those two things together, I think that we need to have some very sobering and some very real discussions with both those countries. And I think we better be prepared to pressure them in ways that we haven't. Economically, none of this is good. That will increase prices for American consumers. But if it helps push them, and you know, I'll go back to my old line with Trump. And I have no reason to believe this isn't the case. And until I have a reason to believe that is the case, I'll have to keep assuming it is the case. But I do not believe tariffs are the aim. I believe tariffs are the pressure to get people to make eventually the right decisions. Now, if those right decisions get made or people change course and the tariffs don't come off, then I'll have to eat those words and say, no, he really does believe in tariffs.
Yeah. You know, it's the right response to say, well, it depends what the eventual outcome is, right? Depends how long this goes on. And we can go back to, you know, the story about the plastic bags, right? You know, you're doing this because you want this result. So, okay, if you don't, because he's doing this because he wants to build up American manufacturing. He doesn't want auto parts coming in from Mexico on trucks. He wants auto parts that are made in the United States. The same with furniture and, you know, washers and dryers or whatever it is. But if that isn't the result, then you have to make a decision. Okay, is the policy that we instituted, if it's not doing what we wanted it to do, are we willing to walk away from it? Because just like the bag ban, if the only impact of that policy is now it's costing people more money, then it's not changing anything, then it's a crappy policy. So if the impact of the tariff is it's just a money maker, right? And ultimately those costs are being passed along to consumers and it's not increasing American manufacturing, then how is it any different?
If you want manufacturing to return to the United States, one of the quickest ways to do that is to put tariffs on.
Sure.
Like that is going to be an efficacious way to get increased manufacturing back in the United States. Okay. And why? Because you are tapping into capitalistic tendencies, meaning that tariff just makes getting that thing done or that good built or getting that product made in another country 25% more expensive, right? Which to some degree, to what we'll have to see the way it ferrets out, but that will move some amount of production back here to the United States.
But is it, right? You know, could you say, like, let's incentivize it rather than, you know, punish the importation of goods from other countries. You know, we want to incentivize American manufacturing and make it easier to build in America, right? And to have, you know, better policies and labor and all of that. And I mean, you could look at the same thing, and I know we're comparing two different, totally different things and totally different scales, but you could look at it with the bag ban and say, you know, rather than punishing people for using a plastic bag. Let's incentivize them to not use a plastic bag. You know, let's say if you bring your own bag, you get, you know, a certain amount off the goods that you buy, or some sort of credit or something like that. So, I mean, maybe punishing in general is just the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, For instance, any type of legislation where the punishment factor is more government or more money in the government's hands,
right?
That ain't gonna fix any problems.
No,
right?
I agree.
And people would say the same thing about tariffs. I understand the argument, but tariffs work a little bit different because there is a one-for-one connection to the consumer.
Sure.
And you, when you see a tariff passed, you are raising that price for that good or that service on everybody in the economy at the same time. And you're also simultaneously providing an incentive to move manufacturing or part of the production cycle back to the US. There is no stick and carrot with practices like the plastic bag ban, right? There's just stick,
sure.
Which means so many people, and probably the people that are the most likely to consume, are probably gonna be the ones that care the least, right? Yeah. Like, you know, whether I'm paying an extra 40 cents per grocery trip or not, I don't care and I don't notice, right? So it's just silly on the face of it. And every time you look under the vast majority of this environmental legislation and you just look at it through an unjaundiced eye, you said this earlier, what you see is something that it will make no difference, not even on the periphery, other than to consolidate power.
Yep.
And to erode more individual power and replace it with state power. And that's the only thing that's
regulate behavior.
All right, Zach. Idiots.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks as always. Bye-bye.